Hi, and welcome to the Calvary Foursquare podcast. Our goal at Calvary is to reach our community with the truth and love of Jesus. In 1 Thessalonians 2:8, it says that we were delighted to share with you not only the gospel of God, but our lives as well. So if you would like to find out more of who we are, you can go to our new website at TiptonCalvaryFoursquare.com or search for us on Facebook. Just search Tipton Calvary Foursquare. Thank you for listening and enjoy the podcast.
Sometimes we take ourselves too serious. So I got a few jokes here just to, for the fun of it. Happy Mother's Day. Mom, my Mother's Day gift to you is not deleting the embarrassing comments that you make on my Facebook wall. Mom, thanks for helping me resolve the childhood issues that you caused. Mom, it's great how much closer we've gotten since you started texting instead of calling. Thanks for being a wonderful mother and always supporting me in every decision that you ever made for me. When I was a boy, my mom had a mood ring. When she was in a good mood, it turned blue. In a bad mood, it left a big red mark on my forehead. Happy Mother's Day. Mom, thank you for teaching me about boundaries by never observing any. And this last statement is true of my mom, who happens to be here today. And it's so fun because my sister from Tennessee drove in last night and her husband, Ken and Sherry Cunningham, and they spent the night so they could surprise my mom when they came to church this morning. And that was so fun. But this is when it's true. Life hasn't always been fair. And I can't know if I can say this without crying. Sometimes it's been very mean. And I failed and I fell down along the way. I got wounds that couldn't be seen, but through it all, my mother never left my side. Her constant love and prayers and never giving up on me, always believing in me and speaking life over me when I gave her no reason to believe. Your faith in God is the reason that I stand before you now. Thank you, Mom. And a happy Mother's Day. Whew. Well, there may be some here today, though, that didn't even have their basic needs met by their parents. And it's left you wanting and insecure, unsure of yourself and not trusting others all of your life. But if you're here today, it's because God chose you. God knew you. God had his hand on you, and he wanted you. Psalm 27 says, though my father and mother abandon me, the Lord will hold me close. And if you never felt as a child wanted or loved, today God wants to hold you close. One thing that I realized as a woman pastor is that what happens many times is that I will bring up mother wounds in people just by being a woman in authority. So I want to be sensitive to that, and perhaps the Lord can use me to heal you, even and mother wounds maybe that you've had as you allow him to go into that place. You know, what would it feel like if you knew that you were profoundly loved, fully accepted, and exceedingly valuable? And that you are enough right where you're at. How would that change the way you felt about yourself? How would that change the way you feel about God? You know, it seems like an American woman, we have this idea that we have to be super mom. After all, how much will you care in 10 years if your child's graduation party wasn't Pinterest worthy? I was thinking about Mary and the mother of Jesus. And the angel appears to her and tells her that she is highly favored and that the Lord is with her. And you know what? They went to a festival in Jerusalem and they started home unaware that Jesus wasn't with them. She was not a perfect mom. thinking he was in their company, and they traveled for a day. And then they started looking for him among the relatives, and they didn't find him. Okay, they didn't have Amber Alert. She couldn't get on the cell phone and call back to Jerusalem and say if Jesus was still at the market. No, they had to go back to Jerusalem. After 3 days, they found him. And she got upset with him. So Mary was not perfect. God was with her. She had favor. We need to let go of this feeling like we have to be this perfect mom. So when they went down to Nazareth with them, it says that then he went with them to Nazareth and he was obedient to them. But how many of you have ever forgot your child somewhere and then you found them 3 days later? You know, actually, I have to tell myself. One time, my sister who had four kids and then me who had four at that time, and then my other sister who had one at that time, we were all going to go out, and my mom, and we were all going to take all the kids and go out, you know, to eat. I think we went to some buffet or something, and we all load up in the car, and we get to the restaurant, and they go, "Where's Tyler?" That's my two-year-old. "We forgot him back at the house." I know it. How did I do that? Well, this made me feel better when I read Mary's story. It wasn't 3 days. So we get to the restaurant and we go, "Oh my gosh, my mom called her neighbor. I think we left a child in the house over there." Then the neighbor goes over there and there he is sitting watching cartoons in front of the TV. How did I do that? We just had lots of kids, you know what I mean? Like old Mother Hubbard. But you know what? God's plan will not be thwarted. You won't get it all right, but you can't mess it all up either. Thank God, it's not all up to you, Mama. But the one thing about Mary is it says she treasured these things in her heart. Mary pondered when the Lord appeared to her, and she said, "You're highly favored. God is with you." She thought deeply. Mary was she wasn't shallow. She wasn't all caught up in what other people were thinking of her. She wasn't worrying about if her toga was in style. But it says that his mother treasured these things in her heart. She slowed down. She thought deeply. Luke said in 1, "God is mindful to the humble." And she had favor because the Lord was with her. She was a humble servant. She was dependent, like that song, "I need you, Lord." She knew, unless you become like a little child, what is the thing about a child? They're dependent. They don't think, "I got this." The minute you think you got this, you are headed down the door of deception, because pride is the doorway into deception. Every day it's like, "God, I need you. The flesh profits nothing. I'm not sufficient of myself to think anything of myself. My sufficiency is of you. God, I need you. I need to draw from the well deep within. Receive your wisdom. I don't got it in and of myself. Jesus, I need you." Goes on to say, then Mary said, when the angel appeared, she said, "I am the Lord's servant. May your word be to me fulfilled." She surrendered. She submitted to the will of God, to the word of God. And she was 14. She was looking to get stoned. She was not married. I mean, the will of God is not always easy. But what really happened at the cross, when my shame was nailed to the cross, I was thinking about this statement that it said, the safest place to be is in the center of God's will. That statement itself can be misleading, because Jesus was in the center of God's will but ended up on the cross. The center of God's will is rarely the safest place, but it's always the most significant place to be. If your goal in life is to be comfortable and safe, you're not seeking God's will necessarily. If you're seeking your own or the American dream, there is such a freedom in surrender, even though it's a hard process.
And it only comes to those who slow down and think deeply and reflect and let the Lord do a work on the inside. Those who go inside where the kingdom of God is. So what happened at the cross was when my shame was nailed, when there was hung all of my fears, all of my doubts on the cross. When I'm feeling insecure and I need to know that God loves me, I don't look to my friends, I don't look to my family, I look at the cross. Because that is where the thing that the devil is tormenting you with, the fear that is deep in your soul, was put to death. The moment that I realize that's the cross what shows me how great his love is for me. And the moment it became a scandal to be with Jesus as he was headed to the cross, he found out who was really with him. Andrew was always taking people to Jesus until the cross came. Then Andrew was nowhere to be found. John tells us who was at the cross. Near the cross of Jesus stood his mother and his mother's sister, Mary, the wife of Clopas, and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus therefore saw the mother, his mother, and the disciple whom he loved standing by, he said to his mother, "Woman, behold your son." Then he said to the disciple, "Behold your mother." And from that hour, that disciple took her to his own home. What kind of strength does it take for a mom to stand there and watch her son be brutally beaten and die? Completely unable to do anything except stand there. It says, near the cross of Jesus stood his mother. It doesn't record one word that she spoke, but she stood with him. Sometimes the greatest testimony is not what you will say to someone, but how you stand with them. We all have a cross. We all have seasons that we will go through that will divide those who are loud from those who are loyal. And who I see at the cross is not who I expect. There's Mary, the mother of Jesus. There's her sister. There's the wife of Clopas. And there's Mary Magdalene, who had a rough life. And Jesus really helped her. He cast demons out of her. And he set her free like nobody could. And was able to deal with and create a loyalty in her heart. That like, if all I do is stand here and cry, I'm not leaving the cross. I'm not leaving you, Jesus. Because he who's forgiven much loves much. And the truth is we've all been forgiven much. We just don't all see it. Because it's not as outward like Mary Magdalene, but it's inward. And that's why Jesus was so hard on the Pharisees, you whitewashed sepulcher, trying to wake them up in reality how much they needed a Savior. I wonder if I could get to the place with God that even if all we do is just stand there and wait to see what will become, but he has been too good to me. Done too much for me. I'm not going anywhere. Jesus, you are the only one that have the words of eternal life. And I'm staying right here at the cross. John 19 says, near the cross of Jesus, it said that the disciple whom Jesus loved, John says, that's me, stood by. And Jesus says, "Woman, here is your son." And he looked at the disciple whom Jesus loved. He was That was his Jesus' self-proclaimed favorite. And kids always do that. They always sign, your favorite, no matter how many kids you have, they're the favorite. But John was a self-proclaimed favorite of Jesus. He always said, the one that Jesus loved, he called himself that. Thank God he had a revelation of the love of God. Don't we all need to say that? I'm the one that Jesus loves. Say that right now. I am the one that Jesus loves. But let's skip the fact that none of us in this room would be able to put aside our own selfishness enough that if we were suffering like Jesus was on the cross, that we would think about anybody else. Because, when you're going through something, and you usually don't ask people how their days are going. If you do, you don't really want to know. You can't wait for them to ask you so you can tell them. Most people, they're going to ask, don't really want to know. They see you coming and they try to dodge you. Oh, no, they're going to talk about their knees again or whatever. But, I have a long way to go before I get to this where Jesus was on the cross and he looked down and he cared and he wanted to take care of his mother and yes, John. I want to have that presence of mind that Jesus had. He was able to look out for the needs of others while he was while he died for them. Not after he got up, while he was bleeding for their sins. Because he was doing in his death what he did in his life. Bringing them together. Bringing them together as he died. And he leaves this commission to the body of Christ. When he says, be free from prideful opinions, for they will only harm your cherished unity. Don't allow self-promotion to hide in your hearts, but in authentic humility, put others first and view others as more important than yourself. Jesus, help me. I want this mindset. Goes on to say, abandon every display of selfishness. Possess a greater concern for what matters to others instead of your own interest and consider the example that Jesus has set before us. Let his mindset become your motivation. Now that's a good goal right there. And I don't know if I'll ever arrive until Jesus comes back, but I'm never going to let go of that. I want to put to death my old selfish ways, my prideful opinions when I think I know better and I got it figured out. But Jesus said from the cross, hey, John, you need to look after her. I don't think I even would have seen John. I would have been fuming about Judas betraying me with a kiss. But you backstabbing, two-timing. I would have been thinking about how I was going to get back at Judas. And Peter, and where's Andrew? Sometimes we don't see and appreciate those who are with us because we can only think of those who have left us. But I want to know that God will always leave a John at the cross. He will always leave you with a John at the cross. You got what you need. You are complete in him. He gives you all things that pertain to life and godliness. If you will look, if you won't be so consumed with what you don't have or what you want or what they have, with selfishness. No matter who left, if God be for you, who can be against you? Sometimes we are so focused and upset about the encouragement that you're not getting from someone that you're tripping over the encouragement of 16 other people because you're mad at Bob. Well, what about Bob? Bob left. Bye, Bob. Reach out to John because there's a John at your cross. You don't have to worry about who left. Besides, why would Jesus be mad at Judas? He needed Judas. He needed John to be at the cross, but he needed Judas to get him to the cross. This is the hard one. You might have to realize that some of the people that you hate the most actually help you get to the place that you need to be, to get to where God is calling you. This is a hard saying. This is the kind of stuff that Jesus would say and people would just walk away. But Jesus wasn't cursing Judas. It took Judas. It took a broken heart. It took a betrayal. You know, like if God is going to take you to another level, usually you have to experience a major rejection. It's how you deal with it, how you look at that. Do you get bitter? Do you curse those? Or do you realize God is taking you higher and he's using that suffering to take you to a new level of glory? Some of the people that have left you are teaching you to love the people who are still there. But our eyes have to be opened. It took that. It doesn't justify what they did. But maybe one day I'll get mature enough that I can be like Jesus. And I won't miss John standing there right with me all the way. Because I know Jesus knew who he was. So he received that affirmation that could have only happened with the baptism, when God spoke from heaven and said, "This is my son. With him I am well pleased." God speaks that over to you because you are in Christ. When God looks at you, he says, "This is my son, my daughter, in whom I'm well pleased." Are you perfect? No. Are you on the road to sanctification? If you just stay hungry, blessed are the poor in spirit. You stay desperate. You stay hungry. Don't ever think you got it or you got your ducks in a row. Be hungry for more. Because no matter who wasn't there, Jesus was so convinced that he took John, one look at John, and a look at Mary, and he gave them each other. So when you wake up in the morning and you know that God has blessed you to see another day, you'll not be needy anymore. You're too blessed to be needy. I need your validation. I need God's validation. I don't need this validation. So many times we get so focused on this, but we need to get it here first. Sometimes people are giving you all they can give. They can't give you anymore. So you just need to stop trying to get your needs met from your spouse. Not that you can't communicate, not that you need to stay in the room, you need to talk through things when you hurt each other. But nobody can meet that need on the inside of you but Jesus. You need to get, some of people need to get set free today for not other people that you're trying to give, you get the keys from freedom from them, and they don't have them. Got to release people from the expectation of perfection. They cannot be everything to you. Even John or his own mother could not get him down off of the cross. All they could do was stand there. I don't want to look to people to give me what only God can give me. And I don't want to look people to get me down off the cross if I'm supposed to be there. I don't want to be grabbing for his garments at the foot of the cross. Whoever this is for, someone today, you've been trying to get affection in the wrong direction. You've been trying to get your affirmation in the wrong place. You might get stroked a little bit for a while, but it will never last. So this week, let's wake up. I want to see all my shame, all my guilt, all my sin was died on the cross, for I have been crucified with Christ. It's no longer I who live, it's Christ who lives in me. And the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me.
I receive all my validation at the cross. Galatians 6:14 says, but God forbid that I should boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus, whom I've been crucified to the world and the world to me. Maybe it's time for you to tell someone that they're loved. Maybe it's time for you to live like he died instead of living like this. Live like this. Many of us live like this. Prove to me. Well, we'll see. Protect. I'm not going to get vulnerable. This is so vulnerable. And you know, you'll get hurt, but it's worth it. At the cross, there is John. On the cross, there is Jesus. And in the cross, there is us. At the cross. At the cross. Where I first saw the light. And the burden of my heart rolled away. It was there by faith I received my sight. So this is where our strength is. It's not in what people say or what people don't say or what they do or they don't do. When I receive it from him, I can release it. God, show me who to encourage today. Like I said, I'm going to repeat this again. The safest place to be in the center of God's will, that statement can be misleading. Jesus was in the center of God's will, but he ended up on the cross. The center of God's will is rarely the safest when we think of safest, but it's always the most significant. God made you with purpose. He has a path laid out before he made the world. He had a path for you to follow. And all discipline for the moment does not seem joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterwards, it reaps the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto those that have been exercised. Do you allow the cross to be exercised in you? Do you yield? Do you count it joy when you encounter trials? Do you welcome suffering so it can do its work in you? Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say, Paul wrote those words from prison, for this is the will of God. Do you want the will of God? I want the will of God. So if your goal in life is comfort and safety, you aren't seeking God's will. We're seeking our own will, made many times the American dream. There's such freedom in surrender. To love and be loved, to know and be known, no, nothing to hide, nothing to lose, and nothing to fear. Let that be your life statement. I have nothing to hide, nothing to lose, and nothing to fear. So, Father, I thank you today. Set us free, oh God, from ourselves. Thank you that you did set us free at the cross, but help us to walk this out as the grave clothes come off. God, as Lazarus came forth out of the tomb, there was life on the inside, but he was bound in grave clothes, just as we are, God. But little by little, you said to those around him, loose him. God, as we get in the community of the body of Christ, as we allow people to know us, as we openly share and get vulnerable and transparent and don't try to be perfect all the time, God, but we share our struggles, God, they can help us loosen some of those grave clothes. That our light will shine bright until the coming day. God, we don't want to hide our light under grave clothes. But we need freedom. We need each other. God, we need the truth to set us free. And we thank you that you gave us truth in Jesus. We praise you and thank you for that. And if you would like any prayer tonight, today, this morning, whatever time it is, day, night, noon, men, you need prayer, come and get it. Don't leave here today with a need. God loves you. Happy Mother's Day. Be blessed.
Thank you for listening to this week's podcast. If you would like to hear more of our messages or find more information on who we are, you can find us at TiptonCalvaryFoursquare.com or on Facebook. Just search Tipton Calvary Foursquare Church. Thank you again for listening, and have a good day.